Welcome to the Special Docs Consultants podcast series. This is Terry Bauer, and I'm CEO of Special Docs Consultants. Thank you for taking the time to be involved in this podcast. I'd like to introduce the other members of the podcast crew here, Dr. Pat Tokars, Dr. Jeff Puglisi, and Michael Friedlander. Dr. Tokars' medical career spans more than three decades at the Northern Virginia Family Practice. He transitioned to concierge medicine in 2005, followed by three other physicians in his group. He's received numerous professional awards, including Best Doctor in America and Top Doctor recognition. He's board certified in family medicine. He earned his undergraduate degree from Stanford University and his MD from the University of Tennessee. Dr. Puglisi is board certified in internal medicine and is a founding partner of Glenville Medical Concierge Care, located in Greenwich, Connecticut. He specialized in clinical interest in men's health and cardiovascular disease. He was named a Castle Connolly Top Doc in Fairfield County and in the New York metro area in 2015 and 2016. He earned additional recognition this year as one of the leading physicians in the world by the International Association of Healthcare Professionals, and he was also named one of the top concierge medical today's annual top docs for 2016. He earned his undergraduate degree from Franklin and Marshall College and a medical degree from Hahnemann University Hospital. Michael Friedlander has over four decades of business experience in financial planning, marketing, and risk management, and he joined Special Docs 8 years ago. Michael is one of the principals of the organization, and he's worked with Roberta Greenspan, who's the founder of the company, building this organization since 2002. Thank you, gentlemen, and we'll get started with the first topic. The first topic we're going to introduce is to talk about the beginnings of concierge medicine, how it began, how it evolved, and where it's going. I'm going to start by saying I was introduced to the concept of concierge medicine in 1999 by two of the pioneers, Ed Goldman, who was one of the founders of MDVIP, and Bruce Spector, one of the founders of Pinnacle Health. I can distinctly remember sitting in a room with a number of other healthcare executives listening to this idea and finding it fascinating, and I've been studying it ever since. Though I will tell you that the industry itself began in 1997 out in Seattle, Washington, and it was begun by an organization called MD Squared. Pat, do you have any perspectives that you can add to the group in that regard?
The first time I heard about it, I heard it as being created by some internal medicine physicians and their patients who were both dissatisfied with the status quo, with the forces they had to contend with in terms of keeping people waiting and their patients having to wait. And so they came up with an adaptation of the idea out in Seattle, but down in Florida, they created a model and they spread it to some friends of theirs. And in 2005, I became one of the first family physicians to actually embrace concierge care. Since then, it's really been embraced by almost all primary care physicians or anyone who really values the doctor-patient relationship as the basis of care.
Jeff, I know you've studied this industry about as deeply and as broadly as anybody I know. Provide, if you would, to the audience your perspectives on how you learned about it, what you've learned, and why you decided to become a concierge physician.
Sure. I appreciate the opportunity to be here. And there's no doubt that one of my first discussions about concierge medicine was with Special Docs, with Mike Friedlander and Roberta. Some of the early things that I did was read about it. Steve Canope, a doctor out of Tucson, Arizona, wrote a wonderful book on concierge medicine. Anyone that's considering this type of a career needs to read that book cover to cover. That was written back in 2008, and a lot of the principles of that time still hold true today. It might be a little different now. I think that with the Affordable Care Act being in the news every single day for many, many years, healthcare has been on everyone's dining room table in discussions. And so I think a lot of people understand the plight of physicians, the plight of patients, and how healthcare insurance has kind of gotten in the way of all of that. But when you read through Steve Canope's book, you read a little bit about the understanding of how a concierge practice works. But what you truly take off the page is why he did it, why Pat Tokars did it, and why I have done it is about providing better care for patients. And the idea of being a mediocre physician, even though perhaps Pat and myself were not mediocre physicians, I think at some point in time we felt that way. And that has to do with this idea that the more patients you see, the less care they receive. time is the absolute currency, not insurance dollars, not money. It's time. Once you have the time to take care of a patient, they're going to get better care. And you yourself are going to have more time to take care of yourself. And to me, once I learned about it, there was no going back.
You hear about the government applying more regulation. It used to be the SGR. Now it's called MACRA. There was meaningful use. Costs to operate a medical practice are going up. Is primary care in its current state sustainable? Jeff, I'll ask you that first.
I'll give you my thoughts on that, because I really think at the moment, and I think concierge medicine has really been the only thing that has allowed this train that's about to derail to stay on the tracks. Because the way I see it, you can't get quality healthcare from CVS. You can't get quality healthcare from a walk-in doctor, no matter how well-trained he or she is. They're not going to know your history like your primary care physician does. They're not going to understand the interactions that a new medication may have in that person's health. And so to me, the only way in this environment of doing more, faster-paced medicine, not getting the same reimbursements, deciding whether or not you're going to end your career and try something else, which many physicians have talked to me about, and I even considered at one point, whether you're going to sell your practice to the local hospital and allow them to steal all of your autonomy and tell you how many patients to see and dictate how you treat those patients. I think the only way that you seize control of this and your own autonomy and the decision-making process is to shift over to a practice model where patients and the doctor have a financial direct payment strategy. You take the insurance company out of the mix. And I think in that regard, the patient says to the doctor, I'm paying for your time, I'm paying for your expertise, you better deliver value. And so it's on the doctor in that concierge practice to deliver that. And I think that's what's been missing recently, this idea that the better care should be what we're striving for. And that's what concierge medicine is all about.
Thank you. Pat?
I think concierge care offers the best model to allow a practice to stay autonomous, independent, and to provide the highest quality of care to the patients. I like to explain to my patients, while we are waiting for the system to evolve to a better, more sustainable system of healthcare in this country, at least we can create an improved model between my patients and myself right away today. And that's what I think we've done with concierge care.
Thank you. Michael, you seem like you have something you'd like to add.
Well, when I became Roberta's partner in Special Docs, as I was doing my homework, one thing became painfully clear, and that is the formula for practicing traditional medicine, which is reduced reimbursements and increasing overhead, is a formula for disaster. And that's really how traditional medicine has evolved in this country. And that's what physicians who have adopted the personalized care model have taken back control of their practices, their personal and professional lives, and they've taken that formula, that broken formula, off the table.
That's the end of the first part of our podcast. The next part we're going to be talking about is what we call the fear factor. Thank you for listening.